from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
It's always great to get in the stadium for the first time, especially with our fans, because they make it, you know, as game-like as you can with the excitement, the energy that's in the air, and that's why we do it.
Mike Danger.
Not doing it. He's not wearing shoes. He marches to the beat of his own drummer. Good for him. He's become a little cult hero at Buffalo Bills training camp. He's on this team. And not only on this team, probably a captain.
Gene Battaglia.
We go inside the Bills front office and Sean McDermott is looking at the waiver wire. Does he look at that like the one that got away? Is he looking at that like, is he thinking we had some good times together?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. We are live. Buffalo Bills training camp continues at St. John Fisher University.
Yeah, texting with Elena Getzenberg over the weekend. She's like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you right away. I'm moving. I'm like, moving in the middle of camp? Moving's not fun. I mean, that... You couldn't. No, it's bad planning.
Today I learned Elena Getzenberg is a psycho.
Okay, it wasn't my fault. I feel like I have to defend myself. My landlords at my old place wanted to move into my unit, and then... like, the timing of it didn't work great, and then I found another one that didn't open up till August 1st. So, it was kind of the sad reality I lived in. It was not a good choice. I was very tired Saturday. I'm still exhausted, but that's training camp life.
You're maximizing your time. You're like the Buffalo Bills. You're using every moment that you have you have it. Absolutely.
I'm very much so looking forward to tomorrow's off day. That will be very exciting.
What is your overall takeaway? What have you observed and enjoyed seeing the most here at Buffalo Bills training camp so far? I know it's a broad question, but...
Yeah. I think to me the most interesting thing has been, and I think coming into camp I was looking forward to this, is it's so many new players that like it's kind of just been like, learning this team, I think, has been so interesting because we're seeing someone like Tyrell Shavers like take over like a real starting, you know, a chance to be on this 53-man roster, a real chance, versus like these other guys who've come in free agency. Who are like, where do they fit in, and where do all these pieces fit together? So to me, that's what's been interesting, is like it's not the same team as last year, where it's like, okay, you could have projected your 53 and gotten it. There was only a couple of pieces here and there that were going to move, whereas this is like a whole so much more fluid. There's preseason games are going to be huge, I think, for this, the figuring out this roster. So to me, it's like there's just so much more to like figure out with this roster. And like, yeah, of course, you've got your locked in starters, but then there's a bunch of pieces that I think could still move around. And honestly, it's been, I'm sure we'll get into it, so much impacted by injuries already that like that's another piece of it. But to me, it's been learning all these new players and kind of seeing how they fit into this team.
Yeah, so we've reached that point in camp now where we look at, it's a game week here, and this is the evergreen topic. Hey, your starters, how much should you play them and how much should you rest them? And can you make the argument that because there are all these new pieces for Josh Allen in the offense that they should see time this Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, I always have a really hard time with this because to me, I think you got to really be careful with Josh because like you want him to get those reps, but I won't even say it, but like if something was to happen, like It it's just not wouldn't worth have been it. Worth. Yeah. So to me, I don't think Josh particularly needs to play a ton. I think I would he could do like a series like we've done before. Maybe it's one more series than we've done before, but I don't need to see Josh Allen in like half of a preseason game. I know this offense needs to work together and all that, but if I was Sean McDermott, which I wouldn't want to be, that's a tough job, but like I wouldn't play Josh that much. But I think there's a number of players though who should see significant playing time that are with the first team, and you can simulate some of that with the other quarterbacks and like keep your guys who you need to stay healthy, who are these veteran guys like a Matt Milano, a Daquan Jones, like keep those guys healthy. But there is a lot of this team I think we should see out there.
Well, Anna mentioned the injuries, and I think the position that's been hit the hardest so far with injuries is the safety position. And we've seen DeMar Hamlin out there with Taylor Rapp, mostly with the ones, knowing that you've got Cole Bishop out, knowing that you got Edwards out, you've got the two new signings in Burgess and Jackson. Give us your overall sense of what they could be doing here at safety and what that might look like when we get to week one.
I think that group's a real concern. I think it was a concern coming into camp, and then we've had these injuries that have only made it more dramatic of a concern. Like, I think that's a position group that I don't feel comfortable. Like, I think you're not going into the season feeling very comfortable with. Because I think, to me, let's say, like Sean McDermott talked about yesterday. Yes, yesterday. The days all flow together in camp. So, you know, how they, as a staff, were speaking about how Terrell Bernard missed a lot of training camp of the preseason last year and able to come in and start. Well, with Cole Bishop, who could have really been that guy to start, he's a rookie. You know, putting him missing significant time, which it seems like this is a week to week one, is not a week, right? That's going to be more than a week. I just don't know if you're going to be able to put him in. And I don't know if we've seen, you know, Taylor Rapp be, oh my gosh, amazing, anything like that. And I think, you know, DeMar Hamlin's a good player, but is he, you know, do you want him to be the starting guy out there? I don't know how comfortable I'd feel with that. And then Mike Edwards having his second injury already with this team. I just think it's a concern. And I think, like, you know, as of today, of course, it would be Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin as your two starting safeties. And I just don't see a position where if Cole Bishop doesn't get some practice time, you can throw him out there week one and feel comfortable with that. I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think that's good for this defense. So I think it puts them in a tough spot where I think right now it would be Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin, but I just don't think it's a great way to go into the season with, I think they got to tweak the room some or figure out if, I know they've added, obviously they've added in a couple of veterans, but I would be calling Micah Hyde every day if I was Brandon Bean. I'm sure they are staying in touch and all that. But I think right now it is a huge concern. But it would be Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin right now.
Okay, you brought up his name. I'm sure you get that a lot. Can we deduce that maybe this is Micah Hyde saying, yeah, as much as I love Rochester, I love being with my family, we're kind of good. I mean, because these players, like preseason, if you've been around, I mean, is the Micah Hyde door still open here when we get to week one?
I think it's open until, I consider it open until we hear it's closed. Like, I think if he had decided he was going to retire, he would have shared that and kind of kept it moving. Their 23 has not been given out on this roster. I think it's, yeah, certainly could be. I think it could go either way. It could be that, like, yes, he doesn't want to do camp or anything like that. He could also decided a month, you know what? Yeah, I'm good. I don't feel that itch or anything like that. But it's certainly, that door isn't closed, like, as we sit here today, because it hasn't been closed. So, like, if he decides to retire, I think that's would make a lot of sense and be something everyone could understand and respect. But you can't ignore what a boost he would be to this team to have him back here. And it'll be interesting. I mean, certainly I consider it, if they issue 23, then I think we have a different conversation. Mm. But I also think Mike has been very, very open about this decision for him. And when he makes it, I think, you know, it's not going to be, ooh, is he, you know, like, I think when it's decided, it's decided.
Elena, a lot has been made this offseason with the trading of Stephon Diggs on leadership in the locker room, vocal leadership in the locker room, the alphas in the locker room, Josh Allen having a pathway now to really claim ownership of this team as if he didn't have it before. Josh, this so far at camp, and I'll share my observation from today. There was a skirmish. Andy Isabella goes down, and after the skirmish kind of clears, there's one guy that's still visibly angry about it, and it's Josh Allen, and he's really, really upset about it. Have you noticed a change in Josh Allen's demeanor from camp last year to where we are this year?
Definitely. He's much... It's interesting because I remember, like, when I joined the Bee and, like, learning about Josh and trying to figure out who, you know, you want to have a good background on the starting quarterback. Like, he had talked about before how he's more of a leader by example. That had been something he had done before. He's not necessarily the rah-rah, give a big speech. There's different personalities. That wasn't necessarily his. But that is not, you know, that's, he's made it clear that he understands this year that he can't be, like, a, oh, watch what I do and that kind of thing. He's got to be a vocal guy. And we've definitely seen that throughout camp. He's talking to guys more. Even in OTAs and mini camp, it was taking guys to the side more, like going over things. Like, I think we've seen it a lot. And it's, I think it's needed, especially with this team, with losing six team captains. Like, you need, Josh Allen has to step up. They don't really have much of a choice. There's only so many. Of course, there will be new leaders, and there's other guys we've seen step up already, like in camp, that I'm like, oh, okay, I could see him like taking on more of that role. Guys have talked about taking on more of that responsibility. But yeah, he's been much more vocal, definitely talking with guys more. Not that he wasn't doing it before, but I think it's taking it to the next level and taking more responsibility in that way and understanding he has to be vocal and that that's on him. And like, that's even like, you know, going over and talking to a defensive guy or going over and talking to the tight end group after something. And he would do that before, but it just feels like it's more intentional than in years past.
Just two practices left here of Fisher. Elena Getzenberg, ESPN.com, is our guest. Prior to the early practice this morning, we're here from Bobby Babbage, who said, hey, I'm going to be up in the booth. Did that catch you by surprise? Can we now conclude he's going to call plays? Is that... Can we do that?
We got a lot of breadcrumbs today that were like, he almost said it. He got so close. But yeah, I mean, if he doesn't call, if they are clearly, they haven't said it, but it is clearly heading in that direction of saying that, yes, Bobby Babbage is calling plays, because you don't just sit in the booth to sit in the booth. Well, he did say, also joke that it was because he's very energetic at practices. Like, that's a guy, you hear Bobby Babbage before you hear a lot of guys out there. He's so loud and energetic. But yes, it is definitely, it was him kind of leaving the trail to that without officially saying it. I think they, you know, they also want to see how the preseason games go and that kind of thing. But it is certainly heading in that direction.
Doesn't it feel, I mean, Elena, you've been on the beat long enough now where you can remember Leslie Frazier as the defensive coordinator. You can remember last year with Sean McDermott. Babbage is a departure from both of those, kind of like,
totally.
McDermott's not soft-spoken, but he's not as vocal as Babbage is. He doesn't have that energy that Babbage brings to the table.
Yeah, Bobby's like, I feel like I need to like get some of that energy. It's like he's crushed like five Red Bulls before he talks to like anyone in the morning. He's so energetic, which I think is cool. I think it's good to have someone that's different than Sean, because that's what you want. You want people that bring different energies. And it's interesting, you actually look at both of the coordinators now, and they're both these like younger guys who are like really energetic. Like Joe Brady, that's the guys talk about all the time, how like Joe Brady's like really energetic, really wired, like ready to go, and like how that leaves an impression. And to me, that's not, I think that's means something. Like, I don't think you have two coordinators that have both have these really energetic personalities for like, and that just happens that way. Like, I think they moved on from Ken Dorsey and went to Joe Brady. And I think we're seeing more of a shift toward maybe a different characteristics that Sean McDermott's looking for in his coordinators. And that's kind of what we're seeing now, which is these guys that have this juice that like every time a player talks about them, they're like, yeah, they're really energetic, they get me, you know, I gotta get going in the morning, because to meet their energy, which I think is a good thing for this team.
Elena, we had Von Miller on our show earlier today, and if there's one player where the variance is kind of hard to pin down, like where would you pencil him in as production? I mean, Von Miller, I mean, what should be a realistic expectation for number 40 this year?
Not prime Von Miller. Like, I think that's where I also feel this way about like Matt Milano, where it's like very different. There are different points coming back from different injuries, but like you have to keep the expectations in check, where like I think Von Miller, like, I don't know what he said to you guys earlier, but like I would think that he has said that he doesn't think he should have played last year. I think there were unrealistic expectations Von placed on Von, and like others, you know, placed on Von to reach a certain level. Now, he was not, you know, he had a tough season last year, but I think, I mean, he can be a good player, but not be, you know, 10 sack like Von Miller. Like, I think he can, that's great. Like, if he can get to that and be at that level. But he's also, you know, towards the end of his career, coming off a major injury that was clearly debilitating, like physically and mentally, like coming back from that, that I think it's more realistic to, you know, I think it could take time too. Like, it might not be week one. And if it is, I think that's fantastic. But I think the expectation should be like, he could be a good player for this team that can get sacks and, you know, get back to that level, but not be peak Von Miller. Like, to me, it can be, he can be a good player and that can be the goal, but I don't think like a great player. Like, you have to keep in mind like where he is in his career and like the role he really can play on this defense.
Elena, you're gracious with your time joining us here in the sports bar to share some of your thoughts from camp. I want to know what you're working on at ESPN.com that our audience can go check out.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Every day we've got observations from all 32 teams in one place. I'm doing a story right now that should publish, that will publish this week. We got to keep our expectations in check, on Gable Stevenson and kind of what they're, how the Bills have brought in two guys with Travis Clayton, too, that had never played football before and like what that's been like. How do you learn football when you're already a professional athlete and that kind of thing? So excited about that. And then we'll have a bunch coming up. We'll be at the joint practice next week with this already next week, which is crazy, yeah, with the Steelers, doing something on the safeties as well, kind of taking a look at that situation. So a lot coming up right now
with your Stevenson piece.
Yes.
Do you think at this point of training camp, he's wishing that maybe he was in Paris instead of St. John Fisher University?
I mean, I wish I was in Paris instead of, I enjoy my time here in Rochester, Pittsburgh very much, but like, who would want to be in Paris? But no, he seemed very, because I actually asked him if he was like watching the Olympics and stuff, and he was very much so like, yeah, I'm keeping an eye on it, but that's like, you know, if you're a retired player, he compared it to like, you keep an eye on what's going on, and he didn't seem like he was very happy with where he is. So
your parents' feed today, Elena, what we have to offer you, but you got to come back Wednesday to claim it, an opportunity to have a garbage plate with the guys here. Like, are we ready to kind of cross over here?
I think I'm ready. I think it's time. I really do like need to have like the true experience of it, because I feel like it gets such a bad rap and like everyone like gives it a negative look, but I am open to it. So yes.
All right, so Wednesday, to give you the true experience, I'm also going to bring a cooler. We're going to get absolutely lit.
Wow. That's, my gosh.
That's what we got to do,
because it's going to be a party.
That's right. That's, yeah, what I got to do. It, I mean, wow, we're going to do it. Let's do it right, Lena. That's,
wow,
what I always,
that's,
say.
That's the right way to come, bring camp these final days. Yeah. That's how you really truly honor it. That's, wow. All right. No, I'll definitely be here.
Enjoy the rest of your time in Pittsburgh, Elena. Thanks,
thank
for making
you,
time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I really do. I think we have some influence over our guests. And we convinced Matt Parrino to give the garbage plate a second try last year. Mm-hmm. We realized that, you know, we got him out. He played with his food a little bit. Didn't really enjoy it. But I think everybody kind of, it's widely known around these circles that Matt Parrino's food takes are trash. Getzenberg confirmed that with his mouth the air. You know, to get her to come by on Wednesday, have a plate, to get the guys from One Bills Live to have a plate.
Yeah. And good on you to provide those beverages. By the way, special thanks to one of our sponsors, Bill Gray's, for hooking us up with their great plate. So
of course.
We're going to have, it's not going to be any one variety, so we can't use this. We're going to have a variety, was what I'm saying.
Okay.
So we'll have your traditional cheeseburger, we'll have hot, we'll have the mac salad, we'll have all sorts of options.
Keep the baked beans away from your boy. You know how I am about baked beans in general. Just keep them off.
Well, there's going to be variety of plates here, so you don't you. Okay, so I put this out there. Like, those guys are going to be on the air, Brownie and Tasker. Uh-huh. You don't think they're going to come over and wolf one down while we're
the word on Tasker is he is not an eater, rather an inhaler. That if you put something in front of him, it doesn't stand a chance.
But that's, it's one thing for like a burger. I'm talking like a plate.
The word on the street is that he did a burrito through a break, like one of their commercial breaks, burrito down. That's some pretty good speed, and he's always had that. You know, we talk about that. He's always had it. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, future Hall of Famer. And no doubt he's got that competitive juice when it comes to throwing it down. I have a feeling that he'll work his hardest to get that down quickly.
Yeah. You brought up Hall of Fame. This was crossing my mind because we brought this up Friday when they were saying, oh, and here's who's eligible next year. Can we not get on the Marshawn Lynch train? I don't think he really belongs to us here in Western New York.
I mean,
he's going in next year.
He'll go in as a member of the Seahawks.
Yeah, but
We didn't cheer for T.O. You shouldn't cheer for Marshawn.
I mean, he's a character. He's lovable, and you know, one of the bigger, more famous characters that the NFL has produced in recent years. So I think he's definitely deserving of that honor. I'm kind of with you on that. I don't know the Buffalo should claim him as ours. I mean, you drafted him, yes, but his. You also let him go to Seattle. I mean, it didn't
work. Third round pick.
Yeah, didn't work here.
No.
Great catching up with Elena Getzenberg. And again, I believe we have influence. You know, you have influence over me. Look at what you have next to you. That's an empty, recyclable water bottle, plastic water bottle. Not crushed, but empty and ready to be recycled.
See, you can go recycle that down there.
I'm giving it to you. That's a nickel. Enjoy. I mean, I've probably had about 20 of those. Of course.
You could actually snap the Aquafina in two.
No, the trick on that one is you got to untwist the cap because with the air in there, the pressure, you'll never get that.
I got you.
Crushed. I didn't want to do that in front of you. You know, get you triggered, angry. I would rather give it to you as a gift, a little 5-cent gift.
Danger and I have been doing these camp shows since 2017. You were in Europe in 2016.
Yeah.
I did that year with Duffy. 2017, and every year, like, he gets done with the water.
Yeah.
And finally, like this year, like we're an old married couple. I'm like, you know, that is always on my nerves.
What are you talking about?
Like, you crushing that.
Well, what does it matter?
I'm like, well, you do that 20 times, it's a buck.
Oh, you can't be for real, can you?
I'm like, well, what does your wife say?
There is a satisfied conclusion to an empty. I love the satisfaction of an empty container, whether it's a water bottle, a can, whatever it is. You remember being a kid and you're crushing aluminum cans, like,
yes.
You know, smashing them on your head. Well, maybe that was just me. With these water bottles, I never really realized the satisfaction that comes with collapsing an empty plastic water bottle until I saw my father-in-law do it once, and I tried it. I'm like, I kind of like that feeling.
Yeah.
I like the satisfaction of crushing it down and compacting a plastic water bottle. Didn't know it got on my co-host's nerves so much that after 7 years, it finally came out in the open. Now, Gino, those are yours to recycle.
Those are mine. Does it get the Sandy seal of approval, though?
We don't talk about it, Gino. When it comes to finances with my wife, we don't talk about it. We will leave that one alone.
No, we're not going to.
Tell her.
No. That's the guy code. I wouldn't be like, because I haven't been in the studio here to see her, but we're going to be back in the studio soon enough.
Tomorrow.
Not going to mention it.
No.
That's a violation of the guy code.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And you're helping me maintain a long and healthy, lasting marriage and relationship with my wife. Thank you for doing that for me, Gino. We got Thad Brown from News 8 Sports, who also stopped by earlier today after practice to get his thoughts on this Buffalo Bills team as we've now completed, what did we say,
nine
different practices here at St. John Fisher. Is it nine total or just nine here at Fisher?
I've
lost track. I mean, it's
nine here at Fisher.
Nine.
Yeah, they're not counting the one out in Buffalo.
The blue and the red would have been.
The blue and the red, yeah.
So Thad has his thoughts and observations from today's practice and from camp in general. We'll get his thoughts next as we continue live from St. John Fisher University. It's Buffalo Bills training camp brought to you by our friends at Ace Swim and Leisure, Chi Lai Ave, Ridge Road, and Webster, aceswim.com, and by Maddie's Motorsports, locations in Farmington, Spencerport, and Dansville, maddiesmotorsports.com. Thad Brown, News 8 Sports Director, stops by next in the Ace Swim and Leisure Hot Seat on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, the Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Practice closed to the public. Wide receiver Andy Isabella carted back to the locker room. He's later seen walking around. Defensive coordinator Bobby Babbage on communication with Terrell Bernard.
I'm not one that's trying to win practice here. That's me. I'm more worried about our defense and the way we're executing what that specific call is. We understand the strengths and weaknesses of every defense, and I think that's a very important thing. We have to be situationally aware, and, you know, it's been good. It's been good.
Just two practices left at Fisher Wednesday and Thursday morning. Thad Brown from News 8 joining us next here in the Sports Bar. Wings are off tonight. They begin a series in Buffalo tomorrow. Yankees also off tonight. The Mets playing a makeup game in St. Louis at 5:15. We're live from Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University. Deepa Taglin, the sports leader, the Fan Rochester.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, we are live from St. John Fisher University. It is Buffalo Bills training camp. And to recap today's practice, joining us here live is Thad Brown, News 8 Sports. Thad, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Good seeing you again.
Yeah, different vibe today without fans being here, but it looked like they got a lot of work in today.
Yeah, through the rain, too. You know, not a shock. It was like a five-minute shower. I think sometimes fans worry, oh, it's going to – field's going to be slippery, someone's going to get hurt, but they got to play in the rain, might as well get some work in. And even though it was a fanless day, there's still enough VIP fans. I mean, I think it still felt normal enough. Plus, they did, what, half the practice with crowd noise? You wouldn't know if fans were here anyway because they were playing the crowd noise so loud.
That we saw a moment of practice today where Andy Isabella went down, a little skirmish that broke out. He got popped pretty good. The thing I took away from that moment was a vocal and angry Josh Allen after that. You observed that. What was your takeaway from that little skirmish that broke out during practice?
Wrong side of the field to see the Josh Allen part of it. I was just, you know, we were talking before we started here a little bit. The way that the trainers kind of picked him up and got him off the field and he went back down again, I thought was a little curious because it looked serious and maybe confusingly serious at first. It wasn't in the normal, like, scope of the play. The play had been long over, and it was kind of very late when the contact with him and one of the defensive linemen happened. I think it was Williams. And he was down, and players were moving on to the next drill because it was the last play of the previous drill. It wasn't – I think people were wondering, is he really hurt? Is there something wrong? And, you know, after that, the trainers were able to get over there and move him away and, you know, practice as usual kind of continued on. So To me, the number one takeaway was it was not the normal training camp injury where everything stops and you figure it out. It was almost like, this guy hurt? Oh, okay, we'll figure it out, and we're just going to go on what we're doing. I know he got carted off, so hopefully he's fine. But it was just like where it was in the practice and where it was on the field kind of handled it a little unusually, is the best way I can say it.
That Brown News 8, our guest, it's game week here. Here we go. Yeah, fire it up. I mean, where do you come down on that? Who should get what in terms of playing time coming up Saturday?
I have thought since, like, April that the Bills need to play starters in these preseason games. And I've always been, sit the starters. You don't need them in the preseason. Josh Allen should wear a baseball hat for all 180 minutes. I don't think so this year. There are too many changes on both sides of the ball. Personnel, Josh Allen has a new center. The receiving core is revamped. Your offensive coordinator is new, at least from 12 months ago. Defensively, who's even calling plays? The coordinator is different. The safeties are different. So with all the newness that they have on both sides of the ball, I would be playing these guys at least a little bit. I mean, we're not talking about a half for preseason game number one. But if it were me, I would play both starting units a series or two for sure in this game, significantly in the second game, and then I'd decide the third game kind of based on how it went. I'd probably want to avoid it, but I don't know what Sean McDermott will do. In years where I thought they didn't need to play at all, Sean McDermott has still put his starters out on the field for a little while. So we will see Josh Allen in the preseason at some point. I don't know if it'll be more than what they normally do. My guess still is, though, I think they will give both sides of the ball more snaps than a typical Bills preseason.
And doesn't it feel like they go into these games not necessarily with a plan, but rather a plan that we can adjust based on performance? Because last year, as you mentioned, the Pittsburgh game was a disaster. They looked terrible in Pittsburgh last year in the preseason. Therefore, they played a little bit more. Week three looked normal. Everything looked good. Okay, get them off the field, get everybody off safely. Do you think that's Sean McDermott's MO, more to less about having a plan and knowing exactly how many reps they're going to get, and more based on how they perform in these games?
I think he's got a plan. I mean, he's always got a plan. He's got a plan for everything. He's got a plan for brushing his teeth in the morning. But the one thing I think will be different about this preseason, that game to me last year reeked of, it's the preseason, we know who we are, you know, not that we don't care, but it's not a regular season game. This team will not approach the preseason that way for all the reasons I just laid out. There are things they need to work out. I mean, today, you know, Keon Coleman on multiple plays looked like he was not on the same page with Josh Allen. Yesterday, Dalton Kincaid, a guy who was here last year on multiple plays, did not look like he was on the same page with Josh Allen. They need the work, you know, and I think they should understand they need to work. And I think they will approach preseason not as something we have to do, but something that is a part of our work to get us ready for week one.
Yeah, Thad Brown, News 8, our guest here. The storyline, I think one of the big ones from camp so far, the safety position. I'd ask you this way, because is the answer right now in terms of depth on somebody else's roster right now, Thad? Because I don't know, beyond Hamlin and also Taylor Rapp, and I'm not counting the injured guys right now, who might be able to step up and see some time here.
I think the hardest part of this is that there really isn't a solid direction you can go with this. Let's say Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop had both ripped up knees and we knew both guys were gone for the year, well, then you go out and address it. But because both guys are week to week, you know, I'm sure the Bills have a better idea than they're telling us in terms of when both will be back, but it feels like both guys are going to come back a week or two before the regular season starts, which means you've got two guys who potentially could be starters there who you won't really see much in the preseason now at all, and you probably won't have a good feel on whether or not they can answer the bell. So I don't think they go out and find someone else. To your question, though, the help they have is not on someone else's roster. To me, it's on nobody's roster, because the first two guys they look at are Micah Hyde, if he still wants to play, and Justin Simmons, who's still a free agent for some reason. Now, I don't know if Hyde wants to play. I don't know if Simmons is in their price range. But if they wanted to add at that position, I think those guys are available. Now, to be fair, they've already signed two guys off the street who were available. So if they wanted to go the Justin Simmons route, they may have brought that guy in already. Again, that goes back to how hurt are Bishop and Edwards really long term. So I think that the bottom line with safeties is there are many questions, and some of those existed all summer and won't be answered until much later than I'm sure Bills coaches would have preferred.
And fans coming to practice want to see the wide receivers. I feel like that's the most.
So do I.
The most viewed positional battle that we have going on right now. So I wanted to just get your kind of broad view of what you're seeing out of the wide receiver position, because we've seen Keon make some great plays. We've also seen him, as you mentioned, not on the same page. We've seen everybody make plays. At one, KJ Hamler can make a play one day in practice. MVS disappears one day, but we don't really know where this is laying out, and we've heard that there isn't really a depth chart per se as of right now. What's your takeaway from what you've seen so far from the receivers?
There's a depth chart. They can say what they want. They know who the guys they want on the field are. But going back to your question, big picture, I've liked what I've seen. I think across the board, you're seeing guys that are maybe performing a little better than expected. Keon Coleman makes enough regular, spectacular plays. The thing he did yesterday with the leaping catch in the end zone that was on Bills Twitter, I mean, that was if there was one play that I, as a Bills fan, would want to see in camp, that was the play. And we've gotten more than that from him. Curtis Samuel has been busy. He's been using a variety of roles. Mac Hollins, I think, has had a really good camp for him. Yeah. You know, when was the last time the Bills had a third or fourth receiver you could even trust? I think Hollins is looking like that kind of guy. Khalil Shakir is everything we expect him to be. So at the top of the depth chart, I think the Bills have gotten what they would have hoped for plus a little more. So I feel encouraged about where this receiver group is. To be fair, the bar was relatively low because this is not a super talented group, or maybe a group that doesn't have a super talent on it. But from what I've seen the first 2 weeks, I think things are going pretty darn well for what maybe would have been expected.
Yeah, Thad Brown, our guest here. We did get a little nugget before practice. Bobby Babbage offering up. He's going to be up in the box. Can we conclude then he's the play caller maybe if he's up in the box?
I think it's looked that way for a while that he's going to be the play caller. Every time I look out on the field to see who's calling plays on defense, it's not Sean McDermott, because when Sean McDermott was not the play caller, he was the full-time training camp referee, and that's all I've seen him do. He's spotting the ball. He's calling flags. He's separating guys who are fighting. So Bobby Babbage has gotten every rep that I've noticed on the field. And the other thing about it, too, just go back to the move. Babbage said he had other opportunities to be a defensive coordinator. Assumably, those opportunities were to be the full-time coordinator and call the snaps. Why would you stay in Buffalo to not call plays when you had opportunities to go do that somewhere else? It doesn't really benefit your career. If you're not calling plays, then are you really the defensive coordinator? Will teams that want to hire you to be a head coach or a coordinator look at you as the guy? So I think if he's staying in Buffalo, the more likely scenario is that he's going to be the one, at least to start, calling plays. And the other thing, too, about that is it is easier to let Babbage call the plays first, and if it doesn't work, go back to Sean. But if Sean calls the plays at first, do you fire yourself from coordinator? So all the different logical parts of this add up to Babbage being the guy.
Thad, when you're watching Josh Allen here during practice, let us know where you come down on this, because I know a lot of fans might see Josh throw a pick and be like, oh, my God, what? Or you could view it through the lens of, you know, if you're going to make those mistakes, if you're going to test your limits, now is the time to do it. Give us your overall evaluation of 17, because he's looked, from my eyes, he's looked magnificent.
Oh, yeah, he's as good as you would expect. I mean, today he had two back-to-back plays on the run. Not the run is extreme, kind of on the scramble, where he just flicked balls and found open receivers, hit guys, you know, in stride. The throw, the Keon catch yesterday was a ridiculous catch, but the throw's got to be in a perfect spot. And I've seen him dot a bunch of I's, you know, in this camp. I've read a lot lately, and I've come to really kind of believe this, that the experienced elite quarterbacks, the guys that aren't battling for jobs or battling for respect, will spend this time of year to kind of test what they could do. There was a play in the practice in the stadium Friday. I was up in the booth watching, and I kind of had the right angle for it. It was an interception that Deion Jones made against Josh. But it was a 7-on-7. He dropped back. Jones had really good coverage on Dalton Kincaid. And me trying to read inside Josh's head from 200 yards, it looked like Josh looked at it and said, can I fit this in there?
Yeah.
And then he threw it, and he's like, no, I can't fit that in there. And I think that's what guys do this time of year, just to see, you know, especially with different receivers, different looks. You know, if I see Kincaid at this kind,
conversation with Thad Brown, News 8 sports director, who stopped by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia here on the Fan. I think that got cut short, Gino, but we appreciate Thad stopping by the sports bar earlier today. Our practice that was moved up an hour today because of inclement weather.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing they're not practicing right now, because now is when the inclement weather is actually really coming down.
This is nasty here. This is like a downpour here at Fisher. And sometimes they have those walkthroughs that are closed to the public and to the media, for that matter, in the afternoon. I don't even know if they're going to come out here this afternoon, knowing that we've got this weather in the area.
Yeah. So the morning got started off about an hour earlier than was scheduled in anticipation for some rain showers this morning. The Bills did take to the practice field, did play through a good, I'd say, 10 5 to 10 minutes of a pretty solid rain shower earlier today before exiting for the locker room. And I don't know, the biggest takeaway that I saw, at least during today's practice, was an injury to Andy Isabella. And not necessarily the actual play that injured Andy Isabella, but the reaction to the injury to Andy Isabella.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I'll describe the play because I saw when everybody started rushing over here, Danger. He gets popped, Andy Isabella does. Comes to the ground, and he's kind of slow to get up, realizes, all right, you know what, maybe let me just sit back down here. But lost in all this is the fact that Alec Anderson taking exception to his teammate getting popped. And again, I didn't see.
It's always Alec Anderson, yeah, isn't it?
I didn't see if it was a blindside hit. I can't call it blindside. I can't call it dirty. But whatever it was, the Bills offensive line took exception to it. And everybody starts to come on in. I'll finish up here with the Isabella part because this is the weird part. Then the trainers come over, and it's not like they wanted to check it out right away. They wanted him off the field right away. So they ask for him to get up, which he does, gets over to the sideline, and then the Gator comes over, and they're bringing him back over. I'm like, well, wait a second. Why couldn't you have actually just stopped practice if this was a serious injury? Well, Alex Brasky saw him later, and he was kind of walking around. He had a sleeve, I believe, on the leg, so at least you're not fearing the worst there with Andy Isabella. But it was the reaction of the quarterback, Danger, that caught your attention.
Absolutely,
there.
And it's kind of what we've talked about in terms of Josh Allen. It's been a storyline throughout the course of the offseason with Josh Allen and his leadership ability, the evolution of his leadership with this team, knowing, hey, this is Josh Allen's team. He's the franchise, and everything kind of goes through him. And maybe in the past there were some other alphas that were in the room that made Josh maybe not be as vocal as you would expect out of a guy who's been in the league as long as he's been and achieved what he's achieved during that career. It was Josh Allen's reaction minutes after the kind of dust up cleared and everybody kind of went their separate ways. It was Josh Allen still jawing, getting into it with the defense, jawing at the defense about, well, saying things I can't repeat on the radio. But if you were here, if you were part of the select group of corporate sponsors and VIPs that were here for the closed practice, you heard it, you saw it, and I loved it. I loved the idea that Josh Allen was still that upset, that worked over. It was great. Yeah. It was great to see. The word I always use is I want to see Josh Allen be mattable. It's one thing to be one of the guys and to be the jokester and to have that charisma. You can do both. You can Josh Allen after practice today was literally picking up and hugging puppies. So you can be the guy that loves puppies, and you could also be the guy that gets pissed off when your teammates are out of line. And Josh Allen was not happy with the defense after the play that knocked Andy Isabella out of practice.
I've yet to see Josh Allen get in the face of one of his receivers. Not that I need him to do that, but it'll be interesting when we get to a game, Danger, and we're going to kind of see that. I mean, think of your favorite quarterback. For me, it was Jim Kelly, and Kelly wouldn't dare hesitate getting in Chris Burkett or whoever's face that he would get in. And the great ones do this. And I'm not saying Josh Allen isn't great, but what I'm saying is you want to take that next step as a leader. And Tim Graham kind of laid this out in The Athletic. The Terry Pegula, apparently, according to Tim Graham, they want to see this more out of Josh Allen. Well, I'll say this about Josh Allen, and this nobody can argue with. This is absolutely true. He's coachable, okay? He is where he is today because he took the coaching from Brian Daboll and from Palmer and guys along the way, and he applied it. And you could see where he started, where he is now, but how do you even get to that next level? I'm talking MVP. I'm talking Super Bowl. Well, this is coming from a guy who owns a team, who is basically a self-made billionaire, Terry Pegula, and look, he wants to see more of that.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it at all. I loved seeing it in practice today. In fact, I love seeing that just as much as I love seeing Josh hit Keon Coleman for a touchdown pass. I think that's a part of the complete package that Josh Allen needs to be if the Bills are going to achieve their ultimate success here in 2024. You had some ups and downs throughout practice. You had a rotation, I think, of note with the corners. Is Kyrie Elam, Christian Benford, and Rasul Douglas are all kind of working in with the first-team defense. And it kind of leads me to wonder, like, is that something we're going to see when the regular season actually gets here, a rotation of three guys.
Not unless Benford slips off. I think that you know what you have in Douglas, and I think you know what you have in Benford, but I'm not going to put too much stock into that right now. It's just, are you trying to test out Kyir Elam in these instances because you need him to play like a starter? That is a very, I don't want to say fragile position, where a lot of guys go down in corner. You're going to need Kyir Elam if he is going to be corner three on this team. So I'm going to reserve judgment on Kyir Elam, but on the other hand, think of how far we've come. Meaning, he was inactive week one last year. We were like, well, where the heck are we going? And then toward the trade deadline, are the Bills going to shop and trade Kyir Elam? Well, they might have had they gotten a good offer, but why are you cutting Kyir Elam? You get a new position coach, you start over. So that is the redemption story, I would say, right now on this Buffalo Bills team, is Kyir Elam.
Still looking for Kyir Elam to be a little less handsy, because I sure feel like in watching him in coverage, he is still very grabby. He does like to kind of grab, and I'll always remember his rookie season here at camp. They put those oven mitts on him to prevent him from using his hands in coverage. He's always kind of had that as an Achilles heel for him, the idea that he's just grabbing receivers at inopportune times. I worry that should he get out there in a meaningful game, that pass interference will happen with Kyir Elam.
Yeah, that's very possible, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see a lot of Kyir Elam coming up against the Bears and Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and whoever else it can roll out. There was one play that particularly caught my eye, and the Bills actually just tweeted this play out, so if you go to their social media feed, let's go back to Saturday, Sunday. The play from Sunday was Josh Allen rolling out to his right, kind of giving that little twitch of a communication, just, hey, you know, Keon Coleman, shift over
Missile.
Here. Bam! And then Benford's coverage, it's good, but not good enough. Yeah. Touchdown. Well, today, much different type of play, where you have Dalton Kincaid going down the left sideline and Josh putting the touch just out far enough. In coverage as a safety, Taylor Rapp. Rapp is sliding over. And here goes lunging catch by Dalton Kincaid. Gets up, presents the ball to Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp doesn't want to see anything. Swats it away. You know?
Yeah.
But that gets you thinking. If you have Dalton Kincaid going against any safety in this league, one-on-one, that's a pretty darn easy read for Josh Allen to make.
Yeah. As far as participation in today's session, Dawson Knox, who was absent yesterday, was Veterans Day rest, and also there was a groin thing that popped up on Knox yesterday that prevented him from practicing on Sunday. He did return to practice today, as did offensive lineman Lyle Collins. Mike Edwards, Cole Bishop still remain absent from practice with their week-to-week injuries. Ty Johnson also not on the field today. Nick Morrow, Eddie Olafoscio, Chase Claypool not on the field today. Justin Shorter also sidelined today after leaving practice late yesterday. Daquan Jones getting the Veterans Day of rest today for the Buffalo Bills. But specifically with Shorter and Claypool, the idea that these two guys aren't on the practice field. Mm-hmm. I mean, every rep is vital if these guys have a chance of making this team, when you consider just how competitive that wide receiver room has been so far this camp.
Yeah, Claypool and Shorter, I observed, playing catch today. Like, they're 12, you know, which, okay, I guess you got to do something there. I'll tell you this, Claypool does not have an arm. Like, there's not, like, if, wherever he ends up, he's not going to be throwing the ball in any trick play.
No.
No. Like, I would contend that Matt Parrino has a better arm than Chase Claypool.
Wow. Well, we were running patterns in our backyard on Saturday, the family over, and my brother-in-law's got a bum shoulder. He's, you know, had shoulder surgery. Cartilage is pretty much gone. He's ambidextrous. He's throwing it left-handed. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second here. Southpaw, what are we doing?
Did you, you didn't bring the ball today?
I didn't bring it today.
Oh. Well, we're going to
elements are a factor.
Elements. Maybe third. Here's what's going to happen Thursday. Like, if you're coming to practice Wednesday, yes. You're coming to practice Thursday and you're hoping for an autograph. Temper your expectations.
Yeah, they get out of here pretty quick.
Which I don't fault them.
Yeah.
It's the last day of school
for
them.
They got a game to get ready for on Saturday, man. That's a big. We're 5 days away from the Bills preseason getting underway with Chicago coming in. And as Thad mentioned, what are you looking forward to? He's looking forward to seeing Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams and the Bears for the first time here against the Bills. And I think the Bills, you know, I think we know what the Bills are. We know what the Bills have. It's just a matter of them showing up and seeing who shows up, who makes those plays, and who makes their claim at a roster spot here as we continue through the preseason.
It's interesting. Like you're talking about Elam maybe taking some reps away, but in terms of finger quote here, camp battles are like for starters. What camp battle is there for a starter right now?
Yeah.
Like by default, the two safeties right now are Hamlin and also going to be Rapp. I wish that the story were different for Cole Bishop. Mike Edwards would be interesting. Like, but is Mike Edwards that well versed in this defense that if he's cleared the week before the game, he'll see meaningful minutes? I can't tell you that.
Yeah, there's a part of me that wonders if Sean McDermott saw enough out of Edwards through the course of the spring.
No, he was out
right,
for the spring.
Like,
yeah,
you know, like what, you don't really know what you have in Cole Bishop. The same thing. I mean, he was out there for a few practices earlier in camp. But did you see enough? Do you know, you know, maybe the stuff off the field, the IQ, the idea to pick up his defense quicker than most? Well, those are the things that we'll never really be able to know.
I thought Lena Getzenberg, who joined us earlier this hour, and sometimes like the best points are obvious and we just kind of miss them. They haven't issued 23 yet, Danger.
Mm.
Not that means anything, but it could mean something. It could mean that they're holding it for Micah Hyde. And if we get to week one and you need a little help, yeah, I'm not closing the book on Micah Hyde here until he says, hey, I'm done with this.
Yeah, I struggle with that one. You have to ask, is Micah Hyde, a year removed from last season with the neck issues that he's had here at the tail end of his career, a better option than Damar Hamlin? No, Damar Hamlin was the guy that replaced Micah Hyde the entirety of the 22 season, almost the entirety of the 22 season.
Well, right. So it's like, ultimately, it's like a flow chart. Is Micah Hyde healthy? Yes or no?
Yeah.
If the answer is no, or he's limited, well,
next case,
and the Bills are just, that's also crossed my mind here, where they talk about the speed dial, they talk about everything else. Are they just being polite here? I don't think that's the case. I think that Micah Hyde, you would bring him back, but not to be the every down get back. Like, he comes in, he's not going to be out of position.
Yeah, I think he's the in case of emergency break glass option for Sean McDermott. I think he's AJ Klein version
2.0. No. Yeah. Like, AJ Klein was like, oh my gosh, they really, like, if Micah Hyde comes back, I think Micah Hyde has more football to offer than AJ Klein.
I think they are guys that know where they need to be, and they have a very clear understanding of how this defense runs. And what you're going to get from them as far as their physical ability on the field is going to be limited compared to what you have already on the roster when healthy. Guys like Rapp, guys like Hamlin, I think provide a little bit more physical upside than what you have left in the tank for Micah Hyde. And for that matter, for Jordan Poyer as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde last year were anything. They're a great tandem and we'll love the time that they spent back there. But last season, we know they just weren't the same player that we kind of grew accustomed to, either of them, because of all the injuries that they've sustained through the course of their time at Buffalo. All right, fun afternoon here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia as we continue live from St. John Fisher University. We had the chance to talk to a future Hall of Famer earlier today. Right after practice, Von Miller stopped by the sports bar. We want to make sure you get that conversation and hear it here coming up during happy hour, which is on the way next. If you want to pull up a stool and join us, feel free. Our number is 866-4326-585-866-4FAN. The best place to bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. I'm Mike Danger for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan, because right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet on all your favorite international teams and all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton and soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all, so don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Mike, M-I-K-E, to sign up and start betting the games today. FanDuel.com/Mike. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.